Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 8. We'll read verses 3 through 9 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 8, verses 3 through 9. Psalm 8, verses 3 through 9. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. And let's finish on verse 9 together. Ready? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us here. Lord, what a great place. What a great thing that you had in mind for us, a place called church. Thank you that we get to gather and learn more about you, learn more about ourselves so that we could be more like you. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts. Change our lives because of your word, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'll read to you again just a small portion of the passage of Scripture that we read together a moment ago from Psalm chapter 8. It says in verse number 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The sermon title this morning is this, The Importance of Man to God. The Importance of Man to God. Now, make sure you don't get mixed up. I didn't say the importance of God to man, but the importance of man to God. What an honor. You are important to God. What an honor. I am important to God. Here in Psalm chapter 8, David is looking into the heavens and he is amazed. Now see, David did not have the benefit of modern technology to help him to know all the wonderful scientific facts about the heavens and that God had created. David in that day did not realize. He didn't know that the earth's diameter was 7,926 miles, but he was wise enough to look up and say, this is amazing. David, he did not know that the distance from our earth to the sun was 93,000 miles, I think it is, and some odd different miles there. He didn't know that that was the distance from the earth to the sun, but he did know this. He was able to look from the earth up to the sun and say, wow, this is incredible. He didn't realize that the distance from the earth to the moon was 238,000 plus miles, but he was wise enough to look at it and say, incredible. I think the distance from the earth to the sun is 93 million miles. It's just incredible. But he was able to look up there and say, this is just awesome. He didn't know that there were 9 planets in our solar system. He didn't know that they would even debate on the fact whether Pluto could be considered one of those planets, but I know he did this. He looked out into space, and David said, this is awesome. This is incredible. He looked at the sun and said, amazing. He looked at the stars, and he said, amazing. He looked at the earth, and he said, amazing. This is just amazing. David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars, he was amazed. He looked at it. The Bible says he considered it. In other words, David, all the way back then, was out of doors. He was looking up, looking at the earth, looking around him, and he was considering all these wonderful things. At my home, we have a deck on the back of our house, and I mention it from time to time. I love to go out there when the clouds are clear and the night is clear, and I go out there and I can look it up and I can see the stars and I look into space. And if you've ever done it before, it's an amazing thing. It is just flat out amazing. And that's exactly what David did, if you will. He went out in his backyard, or he went out on his deck, and he looked up and he said, do you have any idea what God did? Do you have any idea what God created? You, like me, when I was growing up, one of the very first songs I learned to sing was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. How I wonder what you are up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. You did it, and I do it. And folks, could I recommend something to you? Oh, though many of you, you're 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 years of age, you ought to still be able to go out at night and look up in the sky and say, twinkle, twinkle, little star. That's a star. That's something that God created. I often would look, and I would look as I would go out. I had been taught a little bit about star formations, and they had a thing called the Little Dipper. I'd go out and look for the Little Dipper. Then I would look for the Big Dipper. And then I'd look for the Baptist Dip, and then I'd see him right here behind me. And some of you are thinking Dipper right now. I'm not talking about the snuff dipper. There's no snuff dipper up there in the sky. But I would go out and I would look for the star formations and the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper. We would say star light, star bright. First star I've seen tonight. I wish I may. I wish I might have the wish I wish tonight. I so often would look at those stars. You know something? This universe that we get to glance at, it's amazing that if you get to thinking about it, there are other universes out there and it's unimaginable what God has done. David's real amazement, though, was not with that God's mighty creative finger had accomplished all of that. He was amazed with this. David was amazed, though God created and owned it all. He was amazed that God, in all of his creation, was mindful of you. David was amazed. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? In other words, David looked up at the stars and he seen the sun and he seen the moon and he seen the earth and he seen all the amazing, outstanding creation of God. And David said, the amazing part about this whole thing is God's interested in me. In me. David is amazed that if God created the sun, which has an estimated diameter of 870,000 miles, how God could show interest in a human being who only has 38 inches in diameter. Well, some. God is amazed. Hey, amazing. Hey, David is amazed that if God can create an elephant that weighs 26,000 pounds, how God then could show such interest in man that weighs a couple hundred pounds. David is amazed that if God can create the sun that has a temperature on the outside surface of 6,000 degrees, how could God then take interest in a human being that has a body temperature of 98.7? David is amazed that if God can create a blue whale that can eat 6 tons of fish in one day, how God then could show interest in a human being that could consume about 6 pounds of food in one day. Now, I know some of you are giving that whale a run for its money, but David's saying, look at that whale and what it can do, and look at man, what little bit he can do. Hey, David is amazed that if God can create a jaguar that can run 70 miles per hour, how God could show interest in a man who runs 7 miles an hour. David is amazed that if God can create our Milky Way with thousands and millions of stars, how God can show interest in a man who barely has a twinkle in his eye. David is amazed that if God can create a deer that can jump 12 feet high, how he can show such interest in a man that can only jump 3 feet high. I think David is amazed that if God can create a giraffe that's 19 feet tall, how God could show interest in lowly man who's only 6 foot tall. I think David was amazed that if God can create angels that are as old as creation itself, how God could take interest in a man who only lived 70 or 80 years. You see, David was amazed that God could create. And David looked at it all and he said, God, I see all these phenomenal, amazing, awesome, stupendous things that you can do, that you did, that you're doing. How in the world could you take interest in me? Why didn't I fall between the cracks? Why didn't I get forgotten? Why didn't I get left behind? And I've got good news for everybody in this building. God knows who you are. You say that everything out there is so big and awesome, but in God's eyes, you're big and you're awesome. Oh, my. David was amazed that if God could create a single fly that gives birth to 1,000 larvae in its lifetime, why God could take interest in man who may have 2 or 3 or maybe 10 or 12 children, but nothing like a fly that could produce 1,000 offspring. David was amazed that God, who could create a bear that could hibernate or sleep for 7 months, could take interest in man who sleeps 8 hours a day, some of which will sleep at least 30 minutes in church today. David was very pleased that God could take interest in lowly man. But even more amazing than that, get this. David, I think, was amazed that God could take interest in fallen man.
Yes.
I mean, if man were perfect and did right by God, I could see why God might glance at man and give him a little attention. But I think you could testify, and I know that I could. I've not always done right by God. I've let him down. I've disappointed him. I've sinned against him. I have knowingly done things that God did not want me to do. But let me tell you something. God's interested in me as a fallen man. And God is interested in you as a fallen man. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that means? God knew. While we were sinners, he died for us. He did not just give his son for perfect man, which did not exist. He gave his son for fallen man. Hey, David looked up at the sky and he said, this is awesome. This is incredible. Look at the sun. Look at the stars. Look at the moon. Look at this earth. Look at everything that God created. And in the midst of it all, sinful man is the apple of God's eye. Wow, what an honor. Hey, human race, lift your head. And I'm not talking about in a cocky arrogance, but you ought to thank God that the God of the universe is interested in you. Somebody that slipped into this auditorium today and you say, nobody really knows me. Nobody really cares about me. Maybe even you came in the auditorium wondering, what am I going there for? What's the big deal? Let me tell you something. God knows you're here. It's not an accident that you're here. God's got his eye on you. God's not taking his eye off of you. You know something? You are important to God. Not just mankind. You. You, sir. You, ma'am, you, teenager, you, single mama, you, daddy, maybe struggling to pay the bills, God has his eye on you. You are important to God. Peter said this. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He careth for you. God cares for you. God, this is an amazing thing to me. The Bible teaches that God has the very hairs on your head numbered. That is flat out awesome to me. God is watching you so carefully that he knows he has a number of hairs on your head numbered. In other words, if number 127 falls off, God says, I seen it. 127 fell off, and some of you are saying, that, oh, where's he store them? Because all mine have fallen off. Well, you just remember, God only puts marble tops on things of great value. But God up in heaven, and you wonder, let me tell you something, the God that can make all those stars and make the earth and the moon and the God that can create everything is able to watch out for every little single hair on your head, and he has them numbered. He knows where they're at. Some of them, again, they're in the sink, in the little trap in the sink at home, but God knows where they are. Some of them are in your brush at home, but God knows where they are. Your God has his eye on you. And that's what David is amazed about. David is looking up and he's saying, this is awesome. This is incredible. What a big God. What a powerful God. What a capable God. What an incredible God. But wait a minute. Even more incredible than all of this, God cares about me. Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible. Our dear member, Brother Paul Fisher, some weeks ago, suddenly stricken with a terrible, terrible heart attack, rushed to the hospital, 4- or 5-way bypass surgery, teetering possibly between life and death. And he may have drawn his last breath. He may have faced death suddenly. But thank God, God stepped in and God miraculously salvaged him. He was here this morning. Brother Fisher, are you here right now? Right up here, Brother Paul Fisher. He came by my office this morning with tears in his eyes. He came by and God is bringing him back to good, strong health. But there's something amazing that he said to me. He said that when he's coming out of this emergency surgery, he could have lost his life right then and right there. He said the first thing that he said when he woke up, he said, God spared me. And indeed he did, Brother Fisher. God spared you. Do you realize something, Brother Fisher? When you had that heart attack, God knew exactly what was going on. And God went into surgery with you. And God led that surgeon. And God led those nurses. And God led everybody to do everything they did. And God looked down among the millions and millions and millions of people on the face of this earth. And he said, I'm going in the operating room with you, buddy. And you went in with God and came out with God. And you're alive today because of God. You say, what a lucky man. I've got news for you. The very same God has his eye on you. The very same God has his eye on you. You know, I love it. If you stop and think about it, God created earth for man to enjoy. You know, God is the owner of earth. God is the creator of this globe that we call earth. But God created it so man could enjoy it. Did you know something? God didn't need earth. He already had heaven. God created water for man to drink. God created the sun to keep man warm. God created the beautiful scent of a rose for the nostril of man. God created birds to sing so man's ears could hear the sound. God created the taste of bread. Why? To man's liking. The beauty of the earth was for man's enjoyment. Hey, you someday go to Minnesota and you see the many lakes of Minnesota. They were created for man. The palm trees of Florida were created for man. The mountaintops of Colorado were created for man. The deserts of Arizona were created for man. The pine trees of Michigan were created for man. The changing of the foliage up in Maryland and Pennsylvania. Oh, how gorgeous that is. Hey, let me tell you something. God did that because he thought man would enjoy that. He said, I think man's going to enjoy seeing those leaves change, and I'm going to show them how I've got Crayola beat. I've got more colors than they can produce. Down at Pittsburgh Page, God knew what he was doing. And God was doing it, why? Because he was interested in man. He was interested in man. The rolling hills of West Virginia, God created for man. The Grand Canyon, God created for man. Hey, folks, God didn't need the earth. God didn't need the earth. He had the universe's universe. God didn't need the sun. He had the Son of God to keep heaven warm. God created the earth, and the benefits are there for man. Hey, God created it. God owns it. It's his. He had his own purpose for it. I don't want to debate that, but isn't it a wonderful thing that in his plan he said, I'm going to create an earth for the human being. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. We'd all have to be out there floating in outer space. We needed someplace to park our cars. God didn't need it, but God created it. The earth, hey, the earth in technology terms was created to be user-friendly. We are the users. We are the users. We all, hey, and I wonder, ask yourself this question, why all the effort by God? Why? Why does God go through all that trouble? And I can understand it if he would go through that trouble for a race of people that loved him undoubtedly and served him 100%, but we don't. Say, why? The only way I can explain it is this. Peter said, he careth for you. Nobody can explain it. No human being can totally justify why God would have any interest in you or why God would have any interest in me. There are so many things out there that he created that never doubt him. Do you know the moon has never disobeyed God? Did you know a cat has never disobeyed God? Do you know that the stars have never fallen without the permission of God? And how is it that all of that he created, he looked and he said, you know what? Man is the apple of my eye. That's awesome. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve credit for it. But you can just thank God that God loves you. I'm just amazed at what God did for man. And let me say to lowly man today, we ought to fall down in his presence and realize we ought to be humble and we ought to look up at God and say, God, I don't deserve it. God, I'm just so grateful and so thankful. You better be careful ever pointing your finger toward the sky and telling God what you expect. God has already bypassed reason to love me and to love you. You see, God created earth for man, that man might enjoy earth. But listen to this. Jesus was born of a virgin and came to earth to save man.
Yes.
To save man. The whole story of Jesus Christ being born of a virgin, the whole story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, leaving heaven and coming to the earth, what was it for? Was it to save the earth? No. Was it to save the cows? No. Was it to save the stars? No. It was to save you. Yeah, I'm amazed. I can't explain it. What's the big deal? I don't know. He careth for you. He careth for you. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What's lost, man? Man needs to be born again. Folks, listen. God's life, if you will, is all about man, which means our lives ought to be all about man. You look at the life of Jesus. While he was on this earth, his life was all about people. You know, his very best sermons that he preached while he was down here on this earth for those 33 and a half sinless years, his best sermons were preached to crowds of one.
Yes, sir.
One man. One man named Nicodemus gave us John chapter 3, the most used passage of Scripture probably in the whole Bible. One man where Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now wait a minute. The great God of gods born in the body of a man, Jesus Christ, took the time to tell one man, you must be born again? That's incredible. One woman at a well where Jesus said, you're forgiven. One man named Zacchaeus, who was short in stature, but somehow what his body was like had nothing to do with how God was interested in him. One Zacchaeus, one woman at a well, one Nicodemus, one thief on a cross that was dying. And if Jesus did not do something in a matter of a few minutes, that one thief on a cross would die and go to hell. Jesus turned to him, and Jesus makes a way for that man to go to heaven and get born again. They said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He took time for one what, man? One lowly human being. You say, Brother Owens, I am only but one. Nobody knows where I am, who I am, or what I'm going through. I've got news for you, my friend. God knows everything about you. He knows every tear that you have shed. He knows every hair on your head. He knows about every penny that you have in your account and the ones that you wish you had in your account. He knows about every heartache about you. He knows how many pieces of bread are in the loaf that's in the bag that's on your counter at home right now. He knows when you'll take the bite to that bread. Your God is so aware of you. It's incredible. David said, I'm amazed. I look up in the sky and I see everything that God's done, but I am really amazed that God is interested in me. He created the earth so man could enjoy it. He came, his son came, born of a virgin, to save man. Folks, listen. Don't take your eyes off of people. Let me say to all the born-again Christians in this house, don't take your eyes off of men. They are our ministry. Let's not build churches. Let's build people. Let's not build the youth department. Let's build the youth. Let's not build bus routes. Let's build people. Let's not build the choir loft. Let's build the singers in the choir. Let's not build Sunday school classes. Let's build Sunday school attendees. Let's not build America. Listen to me. We're on the path to socialism, and I'm telling you, we need not build America. We need to build the American people. That's what God's all about. God did not die for a government. God died for people.
Yep.
hey, listen to me. Let's not build schools. Let's build the pupils. Let's not build ball teams. Let's build young men. Let's not build ministries. Let's build people. Let's not build a conference. Our old past conference is upcoming. We have the East Coast Ladies Conference, very successful. Getting ready to start having a youth conference this next July. But let me make it clear to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, I have no interest at all in building a conference. I want to have a conference that builds people. And the day that it becomes more important about the conference and the people that come to the conference, let's shut her down. It's not about our reputation. It's about his reputation. We're bringing people in to help them and love them and encourage them. You see, Jesus was both born of a virgin and came to the earth to save men. It's all about men. If people, listen folks, if people are not on the top of your list of things to do, you're not like God. You hear that? If people are not on the top of your list of things to do, you're not like God. Hey, invest in people and invest in those that invest in people. Let's not build hospitals. Let's save patients. That's really what it's all about. It's not our job to change society. It's our job to change the people of society. If you change people, a community will change. Some launch an effort to change the environment. What you do is you change the people who then change the environment. God is all wrapped up in people. The whole purpose of Jesus being virgin born is so he could be the Savior to man. God's ministry is people. What is man that thou art mindful of him, said David. Well, I'll tell you, I can't figure it out. I don't think anybody can explain to you totally why it is that God took such an interest in man, but he did take an interest in man. Everybody look right at me now. Just look right this way. God took an interest in man. Jesus came to the earth. Why? For you. Jesus came. He lived a selfless life as an example for man. His example of love was all about man. See, God's an incredible God, and David is flat out amazed there in Psalm chapter 8 when he talks about looking into the sky and realizing that God took an interest in man. God looks down and notices that Adam is all alone while all the other animals have companions. So God decides to create a companion for man as well. He comes to Adam and says to him, Adam, you're my greatest creation, and therefore I'm going to create for you an ultimate companion. She will worship the very ground you walk on. She will long for you and no other. She will be highly intelligent. She will wait on you hand and foot and obey your every command. She will be beautiful. And all it will cost you, Adam, is an arm and a leg. Thinking for a few moments, Adam asks God, what could you get me for a rib? Hesitation in my voice is good for you right now. You say, I don't get it. Then live on, baby. You don't need to get it. I say to you, God created an earth that he did not need because he had a passion and a love for man. And he made that earth so man could enjoy it. I then say to you, we have to understand that Jesus was virgin born and came to earth to save man. Why? God careth for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God cared for you. Hey, Jesus lived a sinless, perfect life. Why? For man. For man. 1 John 3:5 says, and you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. When Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation or out in the wilderness, he overcame sin. When he overcame sin, and some of you will be familiar with a story or two that I'll quickly touch on, but when he was busy overcoming that sin, I'll promise you, he had you on his mind. He had come, been born of a virgin, and he came to be a sacrifice for you and I, but to be a sacrifice to give you and I the privilege of going to heaven, Jesus Christ would have to be sinless in his 33 and a half years living here on the earth with man. And Satan said, I'm going to trip you up, I'm going to mess you up. And Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus said, I am going to live right. I am going to live holy. I am going to live sinless. Somebody says, what for? He said, man. What? Man? Yes, man. Why, Jesus? I care about them. I care about them. I care about man. While in the wilderness, what we might call the mount of temptation, the devil comes to Jesus, and while Jesus was fasting, doing without food, to help himself to keep on track and to stay attached to God like he wanted to, the devil comes and says, hey, why don't you make these stones into bread? And Jesus said, I can't do it. Why? Says the devil. He said, I want to be the Savior for man. I want to be the Savior for man. The devil then takes him to a high pinnacle of the temple, way up above everything else. And the devil comes to Jesus and says, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you jump off of this temple? You know your angels will save you. You know they won't let you die. And Jesus said, hey, I can't do that. I can't do that. He knew he needed to get to a cross. He knew that he needed to be nailed to that old rugged cross. He could not throw himself off that temple at that moment. He could not flaunt his power and play with the power of God because the devil was testing him. The devil said, Jesus, why don't you just throw yourself off this temple and it'll be okay? And Jesus said, I can't. The devil said, why? Jesus said, I've got to be the Savior for man, and there's a way it's got to be done, and I've got to follow the plan exact. That very same devil came, and he said, Jesus, why don't you fall down and worship me? I am the prince of the power of the air. I'm dominant on this earth, and if you'll fall down and worship me, I will turn all that you see, my kingdom, over to you. And Jesus said, I can't do it. I can't do it. He was tempting Jesus to misuse. He was tempting Jesus to flaunt his power. And then Jesus said, I can't do it. And the devil said, why can't you do it? And Jesus said, you see that little boy down there? You see that little girl down there? They're going to die and go to hell for all eternity unless I do my part. Every moment of every day, I've got to walk a tightrope. I've got to stay holy. I've got to stay sinless. I am the Savior that was sent to save man. And I've got to be careful that nothing messes up the plan. That's how much he loved you. You were that little boy. You were that little girl. Wow, what an effort he put into making salvation available to us. He rejected temptation for the good of man. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, for he had not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That means this. All temptation that would come to us came to Jesus Christ. And he was tempted in all points. But the Bible says, yet he lived without sin. What an incredible thing. Now I realize that he lived without sin because he wanted to uphold the character and the integrity of the Godhead. But let me tell you something. All the time that Jesus was living on the face of this earth, he had his eyes glued upon mankind, for whom the earth was created, for whom the roses had smell. And Jesus said, I love man and I want to save man. I don't want to mess this up. I can't sin. I've got to help man. Hey, we don't qualify, but thank God. I'm sure glad he feels that way about me. You ought to be glad that he feels that way about you. You say, but I don't even really know much about him, but he knows everything about you. When he was lied about, he spake not a word, and like a sheep to the slaughter, he followed his slayers requesting. He followed every request that they made. You say, why? Because he wanted to save man. When being beaten, he did not strike back because vengeance would have been sin, and he could not sin if he was going to save man. He guarded his every move, his every thought and action all day long and every day. Why? To qualify as a perfect sacrifice to redeem man from his sin. That's how much God cares about us. Every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, for 33 and a half years, the Son of God walked that tightrope of holiness. Why? Because he cared about you and he cared about me, and he knew that he had to be sinless to be the sacrifice that could save man from hell. That's how much Jesus cares about you. The big thing with Jesus is not the elephant that weighs 26,000 pounds. It's you.
Right.
What is man that thou art mindful of him? Folks, he gave his best for us. Why? He careth for you. You say, why? I don't know. And neither do you. No. None of us understand that. But I'm glad that his love is unfathomable. I'm glad that for some reason God said, I love man. I'm glad that for some reason God said, that man down there, that lady down there, they mean something to me. They're important to me. Let me say to the human race that's under the sound of my voice, it's time for some of you to start acting like God and start caring about people. Hey, listen. Not only was the earth created in such a way that man would enjoy it, not only was Jesus born of a virgin and came to earth because of his love for man, not only did he live a perfect and sinless life for the cause of man, Jesus was crucified and died. For what reason? Man. Man. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, and ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. You hear the story of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and everything that he went through. Why did he do that? For you. For me. He did that for man. You see, they mocked him and he took it for you. They embarrassed him and he took it for you. They lied about him and he took it for you. They beat him within inches of his life and he took it for you. They made him carry an old rugged cross uphill, his back all bloodied and beaten, and he did it for you. They spat upon him and he took it for you. They drove nails in his hands and his feet and he did it for you. They stripped him of his garments and humiliated him terribly and publicly and he took it for you. They plucked his beard and he took it for you. They hit him with staves while blindfolded and he took it for you. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head and he took it for you. They called him names and he took it for you. They gave him vinegar to drink and he took it for you. They gambled away his garments and he took it for you. And David looked up into the sky and he said, look at everything that God's done. God, how in the world can you be interested in me? And then David said, well, thank God you are. Thank God you are. He careth for you. You are the apple of God's eye. You are why he made the earth the way he did. You are the reason that he was virgin born. You are the reason that he lived a sinless life. You are the reason that he took the crucifixion and the beating that he did. You're important to God. Hey, don't ignore him, but if you do, he definitely is not ignoring you. Hey, get this. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit of God to the earth at the time of his death so he could live in you. Man. See, when Jesus died, he said, I'm going to go away. I'm going back to heaven, but I'm not leaving you behind. And Jesus said, I've enjoyed so much being with you here personally. I'm going to send myself in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm never going to leave you behind. Those of you that have trusted me, we're going to be together forever and ever and ever. And I'm not going to part and leave you behind. The Bible says in John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. You see, when somebody gets saved, the Spirit of God moves inside them and lives there. And Jesus said, I'm being crucified, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going back to the Father, but don't you worry, I will not leave you comfortless. Don't you worry, I'm not leaving you behind, my child. I'll leave my Holy Spirit. And get this, the Holy Spirit did not come on Pentecost to indwell a building. The Holy Spirit of God came to indwell a man. You get it? God said, I want to live somewhere. Man. I want to live somewhere on the earth. He said, I can't think of any way to get closer to the people that I love and to live right inside their heart. Oh my, what a privilege. We were chosen by God as the home of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit did not come on Pentecost to indwell a Sunday school classroom, but it came to indwell the people in that classroom. The Holy Spirit did not come on Pentecost to indwell a church bus, but it came to dwell in the people in that church bus. The Holy Spirit did not come on Pentecost to indwell a Christian school, but the children that attend that Christian school. The Holy Spirit did not come on Pentecost to indwell a choir loft, but to indwell those that sing in that choir loft. The Holy Spirit did not come to indwell a classroom, but to indwell the students in that classroom. And David looked up in the sky. He said, I see the moon. I see the stars. I see the earth. I see this awesome, amazing, phenomenal, incredible God. And the best part about it is he cares about me. Me. My God created an earth so that I could enjoy that earth. My God was born of a virgin and came to this earth to save me. My God lived a holy and a sinless life to save me. My God went through a terrible crucifixion in the person of Jesus Christ to save me. Hey, and then when he left the Holy Spirit of God behind to live in me. What a privilege. What a privilege. God is so concerned for man. When Jesus left the earth, God sent down his immediate replacement, the Holy Spirit, to live within us. Man was very important to God, so important that God made man's body the earthly home of the Holy Spirit of God. God wanted to be so close to man, he devised a way to live right in the very inside of him. He careth for you. You live in a very impersonal world. Sometimes we're very impersonal, even in the spiritual realm. But God is a personal God. Get this. Jesus prepared heaven for man. John 14, verse 1 through 3, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here, Jesus said, I'm getting ready to go to heaven. And then he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to heaven, and we are rearranging God's house to accommodate you, because we're going to get you a bed and a room up there. You ever stop and think about it? You ever have the in-laws come, and you're thinking, I hope it's short. You know, throw a rug on the carpet and let him sleep with Spot. Well, let me tell you something. God so loved man so much, he said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to send my son down there. He's going to die for you, be buried for you, and resurrected for you. He's going to make it so you can go to heaven someday when you die. And the minute he leaves down there, he's coming up here. I'm going to let him rearrange heaven. He's going to start building a place for you. I'm going to let you live in my very house with me. I want to be with you. That's how important God says man is to him. I don't understand it. We don't have to understand it. Believe it. Yeah. Believe it. Mansions are prepared for man. A place of no pain in heaven. Why? To benefit man. A place in heaven where there's no sorrow to benefit man. A place in heaven where there's no sickness to benefit man. A place where there's no darkness to benefit man. A place of no death to benefit man. Heaven, a place where we will part no more. Why? So man won't hurt like that anymore. A place of eternal life for man. Heaven, a place of reward for man. Heaven, a place where moth or dust doth not corrupt. Why? For man. Hey, man gets to live in God's house. If you say, well, I don't think anybody really cares about me, I guess you ought to change your opinion as of this morning. Because somebody does care about you. What is man that thou art mindful of him, said David. What's the answer? The only answer I can give is, for he careth for you. Listen, folks, and I'm finished. If God expresses so much importance in man, maybe you and I should do the same. You know, maybe we ought to take more interest in man than the earth man lives on. Some of you recycle aluminum. I'm glad you do. When was the last time you helped to recycle a man?
All right.
We should realize we were born to help people. Not to make money. Not for ourselves. Those things that we do to earn a living, they are only a means. For the true cause is man. It's what it's all about. Should we not? Should we like Jesus? Shouldn't we keep our lives clean? Why? So God can use us. Why? Jesus kept his life clean to help man. Some of you need to clean up your life so you can help man. Should we not be willing, just like Christ, to suffer in order to help someone? I didn't say make somebody suffer. I said, shouldn't we be willing to sacrifice and to suffer to help somebody else? That's what Jesus did. That's how important man is. You look at man and you say, ah, that dirt ball. I hope I never see them again. You don't act like God. Do you have any idea what God did for that dirt ball? Do you have any idea what God did for fallen man? And if God, the perfect, holy God of the universe, can love man like that, why can't man love man? Why can't man get along with man? Should we not be willing to die to ourselves to help someone? Should we not submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit so he can help us to help man? Shouldn't sinful man give sinful man a chance? Let's get our eyes off of things and back on God and man. Just so you know, if you're a visitor here today, this church is not all about the building. It's all about the people in the building. You say, you have a beautiful piece of property and grounds. We keep it nice for God and man. We don't keep it nice to increase the value of our portfolio. That's not really what it's all about. It's about man. Hey, let me ask you a question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, I don't know that. No, I'm not sure. Let me recommend something to you. Jesus died for you. He did all of this for you. Look at what he did for you. Why don't you let him save you? I want everyone to remain seated and look right this way. This is the most important part of the sermon. Look at everything that he's done for you. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do it today. Trust Christ. See, the Bible teaches everybody's a sinner. The Bible teaches that there is a penalty for that sin and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty when he died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. He then turned and said, if you want a gift, I have a gift for you. I paid for it through my death, burial, and resurrection. If you'll ask me, I'll give you the gift of eternal life. You say, why would he do that? For man, he careth for you. You say, do I have to pay money? No, he already paid for it. Say, do I have to turn over a new leaf? No, he already was the sinless sacrifice. He did that for you. Say, why did he do it? Because God loves you. Say, explain it to me, Brother Owens. I'm sorry. I can't. And I guess I'm glad I can't. I can just tell you this. I'm so glad. I am so glad that he does. What is God that is mindful of man, said David. I don't know. I'm just glad that he cares about you. If you're not saved, you need to get born again this morning. It's very simple. It's very simple. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes.